Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 529, Griffball is Here, recorded live on February 25th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And I'm Godzilla T.
And welcome back to another fine episode of Podtacular. We're running a little late tonight, as for those of us listening to the stream, because I've been trying to get something out, which is kind of overdue, and it's still not out yet. So hopefully I'll be out after this podcast is being done recorded. But as far as news is concerned this week, we have a lot of news to cover. There was a lot of stuff that came out this week, including the February content update got released a few days early, which is always nice.
I always like when we get stuff early.
Yeah, it's kind of like an early Christmas present, and especially this one, because we got a lot of content in this update.
Yeah.
This is being heralded pretty much by a lot of people, if not mostly everybody, as the largest content update for Halo ever. And that's just not 343 saying that. That's everybody.
Yeah.
Is saying that this is probably one of the biggest content updates to any Halo game that has been out there.
All I know is I'm having a blast with it.
Yeah, same here.
Griffball, it's so nice to have Griffball.
Yeah, that's the one thing I still have to get into is Griffball. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm loving all the UI improvements. It's made so many things so much easier to do.
I've noticed some really crazy things when it comes to Griffball. Now that you said that, Dust. I was playing a couple of rounds of Griffball last night, and the things that people are picking up on with the new Spartan abilities are insane. Like,
oh yeah,
really insane. Like, something that I didn't ever think to, like, I didn't think was going to happen. So, to give you an example, and this is a tangent already, and I apologize, but someone jumped up on the window sill, or not the window sill, but the little wall edge
glass panes.
Yeah, those. They jumped up on it real quick and then jumped up and did a ground pound, killing the entire enemy team, bouncing off that jump and then went into their goal, doing a slam, ground pound slam, and got it into the goal again. It was insane on what, like, I couldn't believe that's what we got, and we won. That was the game winning, or that was the round winning game, which was pretty sick.
Cool.
Yeah, that's just a modified wall hop, really.
Yeah.
The wall hop has been a move in Griffball since Halo 3.
Yeah, Laird just mentioned in the chat, have you guys seen the assassination with the hammer?
It's insane.
Yes.
I love that.
We tweeted that earlier today on our Twitter.
Yeah,
it is pretty crazy. It is super awesome, too. So, for those that haven't seen it yet, here's a little description of it. You take your hammer, you swing the legs, so that you
sweep the legs.
Yeah, you sweep the legs, and then you take the hammer and bash their face.
That's brutal.
It is a brutal, but it is such an awesome assassination.
The only thing missing is the fountains of blood coming out of their head as it squishes.
Well, that's because it's a teen-rated game.
I know.
Yeah.
Darn teens. I want my blood and gore.
Yeah, kind of sucks.
But anyways. Man, I saw that, and I'm like, oh my god. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. It was so fun to play Griffball. So, for Warzone Wednesday, instead of doing Warzone last night, we actually did some Griffball.
Cool.
Granted, we didn't get too many people out, but we had enough people to do four, and it was a lot of fun. I only had a chance to play two games, but the first game we won, and I managed to score the winning bomb, or ball, I guess, on the first game. And then the second game, I actually got my first pro run. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you can do with the Spartan abilities to really get around and do some really crazy stuff. So you'll see people doing the little slide in and then swing the hammer and try to sneak in. And then you have people trying to do the whole like boost up ground pound type of thing. So I did see another clip today of someone using the hammer to launch themselves, and then did a ground pound into somebody, and then they got the ball and then jumped up and did another ground pound to score the ball.
I think that's going to be a common occurrence.
It's going to make for some really interesting Griffball action. Although I do feel that the court is a little small for the Spartan abilities currently.
That could be completely understandable.
Something else that I've noticed, and I don't know if it's just me, but I feel that the hammer is you can sit there and kill somebody from a little bit further distance than I've seen in previous Halo games. For me, you don't have to be right on them to get that kill. They can be a little bit of ways away and they can still kill them.
Well, Halo 4 was like that as well.
I think that's also accounting for the lunge ability with the sword, because if you do zoom in with the sword, you have that extra lunge range, and I think the lunge range for the sword in Halo 5 might be slightly more than it was in Halo 4. Haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but that could be another reason why.
I don't know. I just noticed that when I was playing, I was like, this seems to be a little bit more of range than it did last time around.
I mean, even between Halo 3 and Halo 4, there was a little bit difference in range, because I can remember having to reach in 4. I can remember having to adjust to the new range of the gravity hammer.
Every game at Griffball is different. That's just kind of the nature of how the weapons change. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different thing that people have to get used to.
Yeah, and that's just something I was just addressing, something that I was trying to get used to, because like I said before, in previous games, I didn't play much Griffball in Halo 4. It was mostly 3 and Reach is where I played most of my Griffball, but I feel that it was just a little bit more of a closer range, which I liked. To be honest with you, it gives you a little bit more... I feel it takes a little bit more skill in that sense, because it just takes... I don't really know how to describe it. It feels that you don't have to sit there and be right up on someone. You have to sit there and judge that distance of when you have to kill them, which I think is nice.
Well, the one thing that I've always noticed about Griffball is you needed to know what the maximum range of that hammer was, because you needed to be swinging when you hit that maximum kill range.
Yeah.
Because if you got too close, you were done, because you were late swinging the hammer. So it's a matter of getting that timing where you're inside the kill zone with the hammer swing and not too close to where you get killed by the other swing first.
Yep.
So it's always been a timing issue.
And for me, when I picked up Griffball for Halo 5 last night, it didn't really take me too long to really figure out where that range was. Granted, there's definitely a buffer that I'm swinging in, so I don't know precisely when to swing my hammer, but in my first game, I wasn't completely miss-swinging and not connecting or waiting too long to connect. It felt pretty natural, pretty normal going into Griffball for me. So it didn't really feel like it was too different than Griffball in the past.
Yeah, I still need to play with the gravity hammer to get an opinion. I haven't been in the Griffball playlist yet, so.
But yeah, that's just one aspect of the Hammerstorm update. There's lots of other things that happen too. First of all, being the Torg Arena map, and they got to show that off. So they actually bumped up the live stream. They were supposed to originally do it on Friday this week, the 26th, but because they were releasing the content update early, they actually showcased it on Tuesday. So with all the cool little stuff that we got to see the assault mode played on Torque, which was really cool. There's actually some moving parts to the map that help kind of give cover or help create different traversal paths for the map. So there's lots of different things on there. I actually have not played on Torque yet. I've got to play quite a bit of Griffball, but I haven't played on Torque yet. So have either of you guys gotten to play?
Yeah, I've played on Torque a couple of times.
Very complete opposite compared to what the last update was. This time around, I booted it up and that was the first thing I got was Torque.
Yeah, because the last one would have been Riptide for last month or the month before. Last month, yeah. So what do you guys think? Because there's actually quite a bit of different stuff in this map compared to a few of the other Halo 5 maps. It's a very different layout. It's a very symmetrical layout, which is nice to see, but it is quite different too, and it has those pillars in the middle that go up and down every 20 seconds or so.
Those things, the pillars that are in the middle, those seem to be the hot spot for the last couple games that I played. I don't necessarily think it's it, but the one thing I did notice right away, though, is people camping on top of them. I don't know if that was just
Really?
Yeah, they seemed like when they go up, you can't jump up and clamber on it. You have to jump off the ledge and actually get on there. So when those things are up, people are sitting on top of there And then when they lower back down, that's when people start doing it. So that was just something that I noticed right away. I don't know if that was another problem. GTE may have seen it or not have seen it. I don't know if what you saw with it.
No, I didn't see anybody doing that. Of course, I was playing in SWAT, so you don't really want to sit still too long. But I have to admit, I like the way the map plays. It's got a good mix of long range shots, where you can do cross map shots, but you still have that close quarters where you get up close and personal. The games I played, I was probably 60-40 on my kills between beatdowns and headshots. So, you get in those halls and somebody comes around a corner and you're too close you're not too close, but it's just easier to melee than to pull the trigger to shoot the BR or the pistol. And I like that. I'm going to try to get into it on just regular Slayer or Team Slayer and see what it plays like with normal weapons and get a chance to really play with that Halo 2 BR as well, because it's on that map.
They've added the Halo 2 BR to... I guess it's going to be something they're going to add it to every new map, because it was on Riptide, and now it's on Torque, and everyone is loving the Halo 2 BR. So I think that's probably going to end up being the one that's going to be added to like every single map, or at least like that with the Halo 5 BR. I think on Riptide there is both, but that just seems to be a community favorite. Although I highly doubt that they're going to put the Halo CE pistol in the match, because it is kind of overpowered. The Halo CE pistol is a power weapon.
Yeah.
It is a power weapon.
Well, you can put it on a 3-minute respawn and put one clip in it. I mean, if you're good with it, that should be at least 4 kills.
Yeah.
That is true. Very true. But has anyone had a chance to actually mess around with that? Because I honestly haven't played Warzone.
I've got destroyed by it.
I haven't opened any of my rec packs since the update dropped, so I have not. I don't have it, and I haven't seen anybody using it yet as far as in when I was playing, but I've seen some gameplay of it, and it is an absolute beast.
It's a monster. That thing is...
Well, it's the 3-shot kill.
Well,
it's exactly the same as it was in Halo 1.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that they put the animations in there as well.
Yes. Yep.
The whole backflip thing was really cool.
Yep. I that's one thing that I have noticed that 343 has been paying attention to, which is something that we brought up in past podcasts, is doing little flair things to make the game more interesting, like little things. And I'm glad to see that they're starting to do that now. You know, with the gravity hammer assassination, you have the Halo CE animation where you shoot somebody, they do the twirl as they die, and you know the backflip with the gun and all that. So, like, it's cool to see that they're paying attention to that and bringing it into the game.
Yeah, they're putting the chat the fan service, which is exactly what they're doing.
I'm enjoying a lot of the classic stuff that they're bringing in, like the Spanker rocket launcher, the Halo CE pistol, the Halo 2 BR. I just don't want them to bring so much of it in that it becomes a rehash of the old games. I want them to bring in new stuff as well. You know, I want them to show what they can do artistically. You know, I don't want a carbon copy of what we've already got. And so far they're doing good. I just don't want them to go too far the other way. You know, at the very beginning, they were kind of, as far as what's in the game, as far as weapons, they were going new. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of old. You know, we didn't have the classic Spanker rocket launcher at launch, things like that. And they're bringing this in, you know, these older weapons in. I want them to just to maintain a balance on that stuff, because go ahead, Dust.
So I feel that they already have really kind of artistically shown what they have wanted to do with it. Like all the weapons that they wanted to put out in the sandbox were there at the beginning of the game. And now that the game is out there, they have their experience out there. And this kind of seems to be the direction that they're going, but they've laid out their experience for Halo 5. They laid out Slayer, CTF, Strongholds, Breakout, and Warzone as their defined set. And they came out with a new rocket launcher. They came out with a new plasma rifle and all the different variants for Warzone and all that stuff. And now they're adding in stuff for people that are really big fans of the game, that are staying with the game and really bringing back some of that nostalgia, because people are having a great time with Halo, and the way that they're bringing all these back, I think it's really beneficial, because people are really getting into the fact that while Halo 5 is a new experience and it's has new game modes and a new armor ability system, and it's new, they did a really good job of harkening back to, and again, the comparison back to Halo 2 with the fun gameplay. I mean, for me, this is the most fun I've had in multiplayer since Halo 2. The multiplayer is solid. They nailed it. And then them adding these weapons back in is just, it's the icing on the cake.
It's that flair that everyone's been wanting to see, that's bringing, you know, old fans that experience that new fans don't have. Like, perfect example, Haas. When Haas seen that, he was flipping out. I know that that's what he's going for, because he's I know that CE was his baby when he was doing that. And when it's cool to see that they kept it the way it was. They didn't alter it to where, you know, it'd be a 5-6. Like, they didn't, you know, make it to where what the pistol would be like today, or, well, in Halo 5. Like, they actually kept it the way it's supposed to be, which is nice. And it's neat to see they're bringing that flair to Halo 5 that everyone's been wanting. And it also opens up the opportunities to bring in, you know, more unique things that we haven't seen before. You know, say, for instance, someone makes like a comment saying that they wanted to, you know, something that I want to see is the stickies from Halo Reach. I can't remember the gun, though.
The blueberries.
The plasma launcher. The plasma. Thank you. I want to see that back. And it'd be interesting to see if that's something that they do reintroduce in the Halo 5 as a new wreck of some sort. That'd be interesting. So the possibilities of them throwing in new weapons that we've seen in past Halo games, like they basically brought in the needle rifle. That's, you know, with the carbine. That's something that I want to see in Halo again. They brought that back. So it's cool to see that they're reintroducing, you know, fan favorite weapons and stuff like that. And I can't wait to see what they have in store for us with the next patch, the next update.
Yeah, basically what I was saying is, I don't get me wrong, I'm glad that they're doing it, but I balance it. You just keep your updates balanced. You keep things in there for everybody, because some people want to see new weapons, some people want to see the old weapons. You've got the gameplay, get us the game types, which they're working on. I just don't want them to go too far one way.
No.
So we've been getting a bunch of new weapons, granted they're variants, but we have been getting a bunch of new, like, weapons and stuff. Like, we just got two new variants of the plasma rifle.
Yes, I know.
With this content update.
Which I got one of them today, picked one of them up today, and that thing's a beast.
Which one did you get?
The one they featured. What do they call that?
They featured both of them.
There's
one with the full automatic. Fury, or not the full automatic.
There's Fury, which is the yellow one, and then Blissful Fury. Slumber, which is the red one. Fury.
That
thing, I got that one too.
Is awesome. But yeah, like I said, I just want them to keep it balanced. I don't want them to start going one way or another. Just keep it balanced, and everybody stays happy, because they're all getting something. I'm loving what they're doing. Just keep doing it.
Another reason why I think having some of the older weapons in there is because they've stood the test of time of the sandbox for Halo. So those are, I mean, I don't mean to like make it sound detrimental, but those are safe weapons to add, and they know that it'll work in the sandbox of Halo. So that's another reason why they could have it in there. But I mean, we haven't seen a lot of weapons from Reach. So like Bio said, there's the plasma launcher. We do have like the needle rifle in there with the new carbine. We don't have the grenade launcher in there. And we don't have the spiker in there, which...
Oh, boo.
Oh, because... So, they... For those that are not aware, there was the New York Toy Fair that happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And one of the things that happened... I guess this was right before, but... Xbox announced that there was a new licensing deal with Mattel. And they showed off the AR, which was already in the January content update. So, it's the red AR, the Boomco AR. And then there's a spiker... Boomco as well. And typically when you have merchandise like that being showcased, especially on the February live stream, pretty good indication that we'll probably see a Spiker in Halo 5 next month.
Quite possibly could be, yes.
I hope so. It'd be interesting to see if they bring that in, because it's not exactly the most overpowered weapon in like Halo 3. It wasn't that, you know, I didn't particularly like it other than the fact that it was really cool and it shot giant metal spikes at you and impale you. That was pretty cool. But it'd be interesting to see if how they would introduce it, maybe as like a power weapon or something, you know, some sort of effect to it that gave it more power than what it already had.
Well, the Spiker on its own by itself was not that powerful, but when you were dual wielding them, they would tear through some stuff. Well, so right, they're going to have to modify the, if they do bring it in, they're going to have to modify it because we don't have dual wielding. Either that or they're going to have to put dual wielding in, but they're going to have to pump up the power on it.
Well, but they've done such a good job balancing the rest of the weapons already. Look at just the sandbox in Halo 5. Look at all the Promethean weapons that they balanced out, which is, they did a very good job with the Promethean weapons. So I really don't doubt that they would be able to do, or I really feel confident in the fact that they would be able to do that for the Spiker. And I would say that if they're going to add it to Warzone, which, I mean, you obviously will be if you're adding the new weapon, is having the melee one hit, because you have the blades on there already on the gun. So depending on the fire rate that they end up with the Spiker, and then you have the blades on the front, make it a close mid-range weapon. And then if you get close enough, you just whack them.
Mm-hmm. I like what they did with the Needler. You know, because the Needler in its history, it's been absolute garbage, and it's been absolutely overpowered. In Halo 5, it's right there in that sweet spot. It's not so overpowering that it can't be beat, but it's not so underwhelming that nobody picks it up. They found that sweet spot on that weapon. So yeah, I have no doubt that they can find it on the Spiker. It's just going to take, they just have to spend some time with it.
And that's just a testament to how good the Halo 5 multiplayer sandbox is. They just nailed the experience. It's phenomenal what they did with it. I am very happy with multiplayer for Halo 5. It was one of the reasons why I come back to it every day. Now at least I try to whenever Xbox Live is not going
having issues,
head over heels. Yeah, exactly.
Something that I'll gladly admit, and this is something that a lot of people were, you know, I'm happy to see it, is the fact that they're bringing in stuff now, and I'm more wanting to play Halo again this time around. Like, it just, the fact that we have games that, you know, Griffball, something I've been wanting to see back for a while, and now Fiesta's a blast. I had an absolute blast playing, and it's bringing that fun that I've been wanting to see in Halo 5. They're finally bringing in that experience. So I think it's finally starting to call in a lot more people that are not just completely focused on Arena or Warzone. So it's really cool to see that being put into this game now.
Yeah, the social aspect of the game is coming back.
Definitely is. And I think we're doing a lot better than we did with Halo 4, which is, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very good. A couple other things for the update that we got. Obviously, Torque. For the arena map, we got Griffball, Assault, Fiesta, which Bio just mentioned, which I haven't had a chance to play yet, but hopefully we'll get to soon. But a couple other notable requisitions that we have, though. We do have the two new plasma rifles, the Fury and the Blissful Slumber. That was something that they pointed out. And then we have a new set of attachments for our loadout weapons. So there's the Knight's Blade, which is a Promethean blade that you get to put on the front. So it's available for the DMR, the BR, and the assault rifle. And Eric Kibu will probably be able to say this since he's in the chat, but how the effect of the Knight's Blade is compared to the standard blade that you have on the rifles. So,
well, it has an incineration effect to it, doesn't it?
Well, is that the only difference?
I don't know. That's what I was just.
I think it has increased damage against vehicles as well.
Yeah, I remember someone talking about that. I didn't get to see the full live stream. I seen bits and pieces of it because I was in the middle of doing stuff, so I jumped on whenever I could. But the only thing I thought it did was had an incineration effect, like Promethean weapons have.
Well, it does against Spartans. It's still a one-hit melee, but if I remember, I believe it has increased damage against vehicles.
Eric Kibu says it has knockback and increased vehicle damage and increased lunge. So there you go. And then the other loadout weapon attachment that there is extended magazines.
Yeah. I seen that part for the assault rifles. That is crazy for the extended mags.
That's something very new to Halo, and I think that's actually going to be a pretty interesting change.
It just makes me wonder, though, is it, I don't know if they confirmed or denied any of this, but is it just for particular weapons, or is it for all weapons?
All the loadouts
only certain room.
So the battle rifle has it, the AR has it, the Magnum has it, the SMG has it, and the DMR has it.
Okay. I was going to say, because if they that carried on to like the SAW or something, that would have broke so many things.
did you hear me say loadout weapon?
No. I'm saying if they did. Like, I'm saying...
Oh, no. But there are some weapons that have more rounds in it, like the railgun versus the whiplash.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, that's also in relation to the power of the weapon, too. The whiplash, you get a two-round clip, and it does more damage. So, which I pulled one out tonight and was having a blast with that thing.
Nice.
I finally got some, and I pulled it out and started using it. I'm like, wow. Well, it's the charge time on it's the biggest thing.
Yeah?
It has a really quick charge time. Compared to a regular railgun.
It's good for assaulting the core. They're so good for assaulting the core.
Yeah, and so it's also very good to clear out bases, too, real quick. Because you have that two-shot with a really low charge time. And that was something I was noticing really quick. Or not really quick, but really... I noticed it was really effective in bases today when I was playing Warzone. Was the fact that you could just take out... the fortress. I was going into the fortress, whatever, that their entire enemy team was there, and they were pretty much grouped together. Took two shots, three shots, or whatever, and they were pretty much all gone, and we got to take the fortress, and that was the last thing we needed to get the core, and we won the game. So it's definitely an effective weapon that I've seen in Warzone. Like, I think that's probably, as of right now, I don't have the Whisper. Is that the name of it? The Saw? I can't remember the name.
The name of the Saw?
The Saw of the I can't think of the name of it. The what has the rockets?
Oh,
the explosive rounds?
Yeah.
That's the answer.
The answer. The answer. Okay. Yeah. Apart, I don't have that yet, so I can't really tell, but apart from that, that railgun's my favorite weapon in
Warzone. So the answer is definitely more effective, but that railgun it's a lot of fun to use and it's really effective. But I'd still take the Saw over the railgun.
The Saw is a beast. The answer is, I think, arguably the best weapon in the Warzone arsenal.
It is definitely the most versatile.
Yes. Most versatile, most utility, does a crap ton of damage on vehicles, enemies, other Spartans. It's like if there's one weapon that you had to get stuck with, I would say the answer would be the one.
Oh, yeah, because it just wipes out everything. I can't get close to anywhere near anyone with that stupid gun. I hate it. I hate it from an opposing standpoint rather than having it. I don't have it yet. So
Erkibu just said that the SMG with the extended mag has 336 rounds.
Holy
wow.
That's a lot of bullets.
That's a lot.
How big is each clip?
60 rounds, I think. Something like
not
that?
Not on an SMG.
No.
An SMG 48? Now has a 100-round clip or 80-round clip or something like that.
I thought it was 100, if I remember correctly.
No, yeah. I didn't think so.
The answer plus damage boost. There you go. There's a combination.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
God.
Plus camo.
That's a scary thought process. Don't give people ideas, Dust. Don't do it.
Oh, believe me, I've already seen it.
60. Someone's saying 60.
Yeah, I think that's the base for the SMG.
I thought 60. It was higher than that, but
I thought it was just 100 rounds altogether.
I know you can hold that trigger down for a long time on a stock SMG, and it takes forever for it to empty the clip.
It's like 4 seconds.
That's a long time, to me at least.
Well, yeah, still a lot of bullets. Anyways, so there's also an emblem in honor of Duquesne 23. He got his own emblem this time around. The Ducat, which is pretty cool. His little cowboy cat emblem.
That's cool.
That was a nice touch.
He was ecstatic. Nice touch
to have in there. Oh yeah, when it first came out, he instantly changed his Twitter profile pic to that.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool to really showcase 343.
Hopefully
really
they sent him a rec pack with that in it.
Oh, he already
they
has
don't
it.
Leave it.
They probably gave him a code to unlock it.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't make it RNG. Don't make him go through RNG to get that one.
Yeah, especially because it's for him. Yeah. But that's still pretty cool that there's that kind of stuff. I wonder if that, like, what other people or communities that 343 would actually make those for.
A podtacular one. Gee.
Well, there's already the side helmet profile emblem as it stands. So I don't think they're going to have another one of those just with the little earbud piece removed. I just don't see it happening.
It's not, I mean, this wasn't to me, but that wolfskin shot, I mean, there's a lot of people that I know in the community that
still
has
looking for it, huh?
Shut up. I want that so bad. Like, I'm hoping tonight I get this thing because it's driving me up a wall that I don't have it yet. Like, I have people constantly, GT's doing a video series just to see if he's trying to beat me to it.
Yeah, so I kind of hope you don't get it tonight so I can beat you to it.
You probably will beat me to it at this point. I've done a lot of rec openings and I still don't have it.
I got Lord of Fries.
I have that one. I already have the wolf skin.
Thankfully, I haven't got the pizza one yet.
Last slice. I don't know if I have the last slice yet. I don't think I do. I might. I'm not sure, though.
I did get the eagle for the AR. I forget what they call
nice.
It, what the name of it was. I did get that one.
It's probably
that is
Freedom
one I
or
actually
something.
Wanted, but
nice. It's yeah. I think I maybe have a third, maybe a half of the January Rex. Not armor.
I don't have anything new, honestly. Like apart from some of the I take that back. I got some new stuff, but the things that I'm really looking forward to that I haven't got yet was the what is it called the. Any of the new armors, like any of the helmets or anything like that, I haven't got yet, which is really annoying. And I've gotten pretty close. I got like 112 out of 100, whatever the how many helmets and stuff are out there. So I'm still kind of waiting for it.
I've been tempted to print the rec pictures, you know, where they show the new rec cards, just so I can go through and check them off to see which ones I've gotten. Because when I'm going through rec openings, I don't always catch the new stuff.
So there's actually something on Reddit that is a rec checklist. I haven't had a chance to really check it out yet, but I did see it when I was browsing over there the other day. But there is actually someone out there that's developed a spreadsheet where you can go in and check off what recs you have. And then as you go through and open them, you can kind of check them off. I'll have to look into it, but it is over there on Reddit somewhere.
It's pretty nifty. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. And then there's a Chrome plugin for requisitions that someone's made too. Like, I think the screenshot I saw was being able to sell multiple recs at a time instead of doing it one by one. Because you can actually go online and manage all your recs there. You can sell recs there. You can customize your Spartan and all that stuff. But I think someone actually wrote a Chrome plugin to kind of automate some of the more common processes. Because one of the things I've heard is, like, not as a high profile request, but it is something that I've heard a few people say, is give people the options to delete multiple of the same item.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So that's something that I've heard small musings of within the community. Other recs that are in this aren't necessarily quite as notable to me. There's a few new stances, there's a few new assassinations. Although, I will say, the Terminal Velocity assassination is probably my favorite assassination now. Next to the Griffball one, of course. No, that's where you jump up, do your thruster, and then you take the knife to his face.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It was in the live stream. And it was in the trailer.
Like I said, I didn't see all of the live stream.
Gotcha.
The only assassination I seen was the one where you're kicking him in the back. Or at least that's what it looked like to me. You were doing, if I'm thinking it right.
Yeah, I think that is the... I don't think that's the Terminal Velocity one. That's the needful things assassination, I'm pretty sure, because that's where he's seen him in the back.
Okay.
At least on the rec card. So it was probably that one. So that's all the rec stuff that we got, although there was something else that we got that was pretty special. So some of you guys may remember a certain community member went through a tragedy last month, and 343 actually came out and did something really cool, which honestly makes me really proud to be a part of this community. They released a special emblem in honor of the crazed Spartan for the two daughters that he lost in the tragedy in his home. So it is the first animated emblem in Halo 5, and it is really cool. It's called the True Light. Yeah, True Light emblem, part of the Spartans Never Walk Alone pack. And in addition to the emblem, there is also a tribute to the crazed Spartan's daughters. So their names are actually engraved in the stars on Torque. So if you go into the map Torque and if you look up at the stars, you'll actually see their names twinkling out in the skybox. And if that doesn't scream fan service, I don't know what does.
Yeah, no, that's... When I seen that, it was a real heartwarming thing to see. Especially, even Josh Holmes said he couldn't imagine seeing that happen to his guy. He has two daughters too. So like that's something that's really, I really hope brings up his hopes with a lot of different things. Especially knowing that your family is going to be in something that you like doing every day. It's one of the coolest things I've seen any studio do for any community member ever.
It was really cool to see, first of all, the community come together to really support Craze through everything that was going on. And then for the studio that makes the game to come out with something like this and show their support is just above and beyond the Call of Duty, as it were, for them to do this. They didn't have to do this. They didn't have to make the special pack. They could have just said their condolences on like Twitter or the website and said, we feel sorry. Like, super sorry for about the loss, but they took that step further and actually permanently put something in the game as a tribute to him and what he went through.
Yeah, it just, like you said before, it just shows that they do care about their community, especially, and the name of it alone is Spartan Will Never Walk Alone, or am I saying that right?
Yeah, Spartans Never Walk Alone.
Yeah. Like that was just awesome to see in itself. And the thing that was really cool was to see that it wasn't just the immediate Halo community that was seeing this too. I seen friends that, it was on Facebook that they're not really a part of the main community that like is verbal, if you will, but they seen it on Facebook and popped up and they were just like, that's insane to see. So it's really cool. And the thing that makes it even more special is the fact the amount of people that I see use it just playing it in like matchmaking. It's just really cool to see. I had like almost my entire team have that emblem, which was it's cool to see that it was probably the most popular emblem that's going to be coming out because it is animated, actually has more meaning. There's just some random emblem that they put in the game.
Yep, it twinkles. It's really cool. And it's one of those things that, I mean, it's, and the other thing too is that there's probably people using the emblem thinking, oh, this is a cool emblem, like not necessarily knowing what it is. But
yeah,
to your point though, I think maybe 90% of the people on my friends list that I saw on yesterday and today had that emblem on. Even 343 folks were changing their emblems to that.
Yeah. Bravo has it. Unishek has it. A couple of the other people I won't mention have it. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see that that's reached out to so many people.
It's truly an amazing thing that they've done.
I'm glad to see it. I'm rocking it.
Yeah, same. Me too. Here.
I think everybody is. Can't really tell who's a clan anymore because everyone's rocking the same emblems now.
Yep.
Everyone's the clan because we're all the Halo community. Yay. All right. So that's pretty much it for the update specifically. So just to recap, we got Griffball, we got Assault, we got Fiesta Slayer, we've got the Halo CE Pistol, the Gravity Hammer, the new Arena Map Torque, the Spartans Never Walk Alone pack, and lots of other little goodies, lots of other cool little updates to the UI and other stuff, which there's a laundry list of things that they've changed in this update. It's crazy. Like the patch notes for this thing, it's hard to keep track of because there's just that much stuff that they freaking added this time around.
Something that I wanted to say real quick, it's not anything major, but something that I wanted to get, they brought in the Helios Skrill helmet and armor this time around too, which is nice. So people that don't want to go through playing all through the campaigns on Legendary on C or MCC, they can now get the Helioscroll armor in, well, a variant of the Helioscroll armor in the rec pack, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to be hunting that down next because that helmet looks sick.
It's an interesting one for sure. Not something that I would normally rock, but I can appreciate it at least.
Yeah, I was getting owned by somebody wearing that today. It was really annoying. By the way, I did find the link to that add-on you were talking about to Chrome, and it's quite the add-on. It's really nice.
Yeah, I wish there was something like that for Firefox, because I primarily use Firefox as my browser.
Yeah, I actually run Chrome and Firefox. Firefox is my main browser. I use Chrome for my Podtacular stuff, just so I can keep all my accounts separate and I don't accidentally put something where I shouldn't.
Fair enough,
and, yeah, it's just easier that way. So I'm not constantly logging in and out of different accounts and stuff, especially when it comes to Google.
No, that makes sense.
But I just added it to Chrome and tried it out, and it works pretty good. It basically automates the cell, you know, to go through and you sell one at a time. It basically just automates that process. It doesn't just bulk sell them. It does sell them one at a time, so you do have to wait a little bit, but it works really well. I'm looking forward to using this more.
There you go. Plug in from GT himself.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to write a blog post about it now.
Yeah, now you have to write a blog post.
Or just have you write it for me.
Yeah, you know how well I write.
Yes, I know how well a lot of the other staff write, sadly.
Something else I wanted to throw up real quick, because they were talking about in chat, is the new Forge stuff that we got with this, too.
I was just about to mention that. Yeah, because there was a couple new things that popped up on Reddit today. First thing was for the Pelican. Someone has obviously done the vehicle welding glitch and made it to where you can fly the Pelican. It's still very wonky, though, but people have done it. Someone did a starting animation where you actually run out of the Pelican. So you know how in Breakout you run and do the grav lift into the arena? Someone did that in the Pelican where you just run straight out of the Pelican. So someone did that. And then someone also did with the ODST drop pods, basically created an intro cinematic of drop pods dropping into an arena.
Yeah, that was... It's going to be interesting to see what these people do with the drop pods. ODST drop pods were something I really liked. Especially, I don't know why. It just is something I really thought was pretty cool, dropping from space. So it'd be interesting to see what people do with this from a machinima standpoint.
I was thinking the same thing. There's a lot of stuff that could be done with it. And then with the scripting?
Yeah.
There's a lot of endless possibilities there.
The thing that was one thing that I did see when Tom French was on the live stream. I actually stood around for a little bit for that, as much as I could. And that was one thing that I completely agree with D43. Is like the amount of stuff that the community is putting out as of right now is just... It's insane. Like, it's incredible the amount of things that people are putting out. Like, stuff that I haven't even seen yet. Like, I didn't even know it existed. Like, the little, the game that they're playing, Fear on Fear, or am I saying that right?
You mean the Reaper one?
Reaper, that's what it was. Not Fear. I don't know that comment. Where you basically were standing up, and they had a little D-pad. You're walking up in that, and you controlled it through that. That was insane. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that people have figured out what you can do with the scripting engine with Halo 5. It is some of the stuff that people are creating is completely bonkers and insane. And you scratch your head and you're like, how did you even figure that out in the first place? There are some really brilliant people out there when it comes to Forge.
Well, another thing that was really cool too, that this is more the area that I really enjoy was with the screenshots. Was the amount of stuff that they did that made it look like little, like the little gerbil that was on the little car driving through, and then they had the Lego or Mega Blocks, whatever you want to call it, the little blocks that they had, just like little creation stuff like that was just insane. Stuff that we could never think of seeing in the past Halo games are in here. It's just crazy.
And that's one of the really cool things that they've done with Halo 5, and is probably attributes to why we didn't have as much variety in terms of game modes and some other stuff, but it also adds to the fact that they can add these game modes now is because they completely redesigned the engine to be modular, to where they can add these things. And whenever you add a game mode or a new Forge object, it's available for every map, not just tied to a specific map anymore.
That's a really important part of that.
They made a very smart decision when they made Halo 5 to make it modular in that way. And to me, having fewer game modes at the start of Halo 5, now that we actually have the game modes and we're not complaining about it anymore, but now since we have them, it seems like it was probably one of the best gaming decisions that they could have made for Halo, is to make the multiplayer sandbox modular, to where they could add more Forge objects, they could add new game modes. And because with one game mode, with the ball game mode, we got four game types in it. We got Assault, we got Griffball, we got Ricochet, we've got Oddball, and whatever other ball game types that people decided to come up with. Heck, someone tried to make Basketball.
Yeah.
Granted, that's kind of a playoff of Ricochet, but...
Yeah. It's just insane to think. Like, that was something that they did in the Sprint, too, when the cartographers were up at 343 making the BTB maps. And that was something that Tom French said right there. And then he's like... You know, the possibilities are endless. You know, if you guys want something, there's a huge community outcry. He goes, we'll look into it, and, you know, we can add it now. We can't just... Before, we couldn't do that. Like, once you got it, you got it. That was it. Now that you can, you know, you can take something from the campaign, like the cars or just, you know, campaign assets that they didn't have or already had the ability to put in the Forge to begin with, they can do now. Which is really nice. It's like you said before, it's probably one of the most insane decisions that they did, and it was one of the smartest decisions they could have ever done.
Yep. So there's a couple other Forge pieces that are kind of worth mentioning too. First is that there are now 500 file share slots, so you can save up to 500 items now, which is really cool. I think a lot of Forgers are going to be happy with that. There's a new skybox called Ascendance for the Alpine map variant. So there's a new skybox there. We already mentioned the Pelican and the drop pod. They've also included 64 by 64 wall pieces. So the max wall length before was a 32. So they've added new walls and windows to where you have a length of 64 for all those different pieces. And then they have a little toy grunt. So you know how we have the toy pig and the toy whale? No, now I have a toy grunt.
I was very happy about that.
That was a good addition. That was a smart addition. Parallax, thank you, Arcubu. It's a Alpine or Ascendance is a skybox variant of Parallax. But yeah, the grunt was a nice touch. And it's the same grunt that was an Easter egg in Riptide. So they threw that in Forge, which is cool. A lot of cool stuff there. And a bunch of other notes. I mean, the patch notes for this thing is ridiculously long. So yeah. If you want to check it out, you can head on over to the Hammer Store update. And check all that out, because there's a lot of stuff in here. We hit all the big stuff. We hit Arena, Griffball, Torg, Halo C, Pistol, Gravity Hammer, Fiesta, Rex, all that stuff. But there's a lot of finer detail stuff in the notes for the content update, stuff for multiplayer, the sandbox, the UI, theater, Forge, including new assets, bug fixes, other bunch of stuff as well. So definitely check out the details if you haven't run across them already in Halo. But yeah, lots of cool stuff with the Rex stuff. And then we also had the Spartans Ever Walk Alone pack, which was, again, awesome on 343's part for them to actually do that. So, good on you, 343. The Killer Instinct Season 3 Arbiter trailer finally came out. So we had the tease during the X Games, and then there was another tease that came out officially in the video afterwards. But we actually have the proper Killer Instinct Season 3 Arbiter trailer that was released last week. And it's a nice 2-minute trailer, and it's going to be coming out in March. So you'll be able to get Killer Arbiter and Killer Instinct Season 3 next month for those that play Killer Instinct. And I will probably get Killer Instinct just to play with Arbiter and all that stuff, because I bought Rocket League just so I could play to get the Warthog, and I haven't even played Rocket League yet, which, yeah, that came out last week too, for those who didn't know. Did we mention that last week? I think we might have. We probably did. But anyways.
Yeah, I think we did.
That is out. Arbiter for Killer Instinct Season 3 will be out next month as well. There's just a lot of cross-promotion stuff going on lately with Halo. There's the the Mattel agreement. Now we have Halo in Rocket League. We have Halo in Killer Instinct. They're just all over the place. So interesting new stuff coming with Halo 5 content updates in the future. On the same day that the content update got released, which was yesterday, Wednesday, from when we're recording this, Xbox Wire released a short little details thing on what's coming up. So we know of three more content updates that are going to be coming to Halo 5. One's going to be called The Ghosts of Meridian. One's going to be called The Memories of Reach, which I'm hoping that means we might see some Reach weapons or maybe a Reach map or something remade. And then there is Hog Wild. And then if you watch the Hammerstorm trailer that got released the same day that the update dropped, if you watch the end, there's a tease for Warzone Firefight, which everybody is going nuts over.
Yeah.
I am absolutely crazy. What are you going to say? Sorry.
I'm just like, dude, I'm ecstatic. Like, I've wanted... I can't even talk. Like, the amount of want that I want... The amount of want I want for Firefight to come in Halo 5 is just crazy. I mean, we've talked about this on past podcasts. Even before the game was even released, we were talking about how cool it would be to see a Firefight-type mode come in. And then we found out about Warzone, and we kind of seen, like, it'd be an interesting idea to see if that was in some way bring in, like, a Firefight-type-ish mode. And they shown that, and I was doing flips at that point. I was extremely happy.
I would love to see you attempt to do flips.
I can do a couple flips.
Can you?
They're not the... Yeah. I used to do gymnastics. You know, I don't even tell now, but I used to do some gymnastics stuff when I was in middle school and grade school.
Nice. I used to do gymnastics too, but that was really, really young.
Yeah.
Really early on.
I used to watch gymnastics. In school. Oh.
Fair enough. To each his own, right? So that's something that's very exciting. It's going to be PvE, and from the looks of the trailer, it looks like it's still going to be limited to 12, but you're going to be fighting against a bunch of AI bosses, and it looks like a ton of fun. Now, they haven't said when it's going to come out specifically. They just said that it's going to be coming in 2016, which means it's going to be included in one of the content updates that we'll get over the next 4 months. But it's still pretty exciting to see that. I think pretty much every big community request that has been out there has been addressed at this point, with Forge, with game modes, and Firefight has been another huge one from the community. And 343 is like, hey, guess what's coming soon, folks? You asked for it.
Yeah, it's another example of them listening to what we want. They're quiet about it. You know, they're not going to be able to say much, but they are showing that they're, you know, doing stuff that we've been asking for. And it's a good feeling to see. It really is. I mean, we were talking about this before. It's like, we don't really have any sort of, you know, communication. And now that they're like, all right, let's see what we can give out. And now with this update, they showed us what we're going to be getting to. So it's nice to see them kind of giving the community a little bit more of an outreach than what they were before.
It's nice to see that they're listening.
Yes.
They're showing they're listening.
Yes, very much so. It's definitely very refreshing. So something else that happened too, we're kind of going off the beaten path for official news. We've kind of exhausted all that already. But the first perfect war zone has been recorded for Halo 5. So 1,000-0, it has been accomplished. By some miracle, it has been done.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
it's awesome. I mean, yeah, think about it. Your team pulls off a victory without anybody dying.
The only question I have with this though is that, did they confirm or deny if it was a pre-made team or if it was just a bunch of randoms?
So judging by the video, if you watch the video, it looked like a lot of people on the other team were AFK for the start of it, because they didn't even get outside of their base really before the team that won ended up going over there. And you can tell that there weren't many people starting to come out. And the video that's up there was actually of the safe film, so you could actually see the outlines in the distance. And as they're cleaning out their base and running out their base, you can just see a lot of the outlines just standing still. So while they took advantage of a lot of AFK folks, they still legitimately got a perfect Warzone game.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing, I've gotten close with when I played with Unishek a couple of times. We've gotten pretty close. I mean, we went 1,000 to 11, 1,000 to 21, like low count, but 1,000 to 0 is just, that's, to me, that's insane.
And it turns out that there was actually a game a few days before where someone recorded 1,000 to 1 game, and then this just comes out.
I'm never going to get that lucky.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's going to happen again for a while. I think that was definitely a fluke of where a lot of the other team was just AFK and they took advantage of a perfect situation for them to actually do it.
Oh, yeah.
So this was posted by Reddit user Crazy Flips, and originally he took a picture of the in-game scoreboard, and then he later uploaded a video to confirm that, yes, this is legitimate. And then I actually went and found the match history on Waypoint, and sure enough, it's there, 1,000-1 or 1,000-0 recorded. So, and if you watch the video, at the very end, there was a possibility for Red to get a few kills. They went in with two or three ghosts, and the guy who was recording the film actually got hijacked right before the game ended. So there were a couple of opportunities for Red to actually get a kill, but they just managed to take out the core quick enough to where, by the time they died, the game was already over. Ghost Train strikes again. So you can check that out.
I hate the Ghost Train.
Oh, I was... So there was a video up on Reddit this past week of some guy in the ghost going through the tunnel on escape from ARC, and then he just hits a ghost train of about 9 people and just gets it demolished. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I came around a corner and ran into 3 tanks. That was pretty much a waste of a Ghost Ultra.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. Sometimes the Halo gods just do not look down in your favor.
They do not smile on me very often in Warzone.
Oh, well. It happens sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. So another little piece of community news before he leaves, before David leaves. There was a project back in 2012, 2013, sometime back then, called Community Evolved. Community Evolved. And this was a project headed up by a community known as Ford Under Dawn. They do a lot of lore stuff and look into some of the finer aspects of the Halo lore as it pertains to the Halo universe. And they coordinated with a bunch of different communities to make this book that covers the first decade of community involvement with Halo, explaining or going through how the community changed over the 10 years for the first decade and all that stuff. And originally the book was only available to Kickstarter backers. So this was a big Kickstarter project. It got funded. Took them 3 years to actually come out with the book, but they finally released it last year or early this year. It was January this year. So with that, they actually have, you can actually purchase the book now. So it's 188 pages. I'm in there for Podtacular since Podtacular was founded in 2005. And it covers a lot of cool aspects of the Halo community. If you ever wanted to see how the Halo community really started out and really supported each other and Halo as a franchise really early on, this is a must buy. And this isn't officially done by 343 or supported by 343. This is a completely fan project, completely fan done project. And they obviously can't make money off of it because, from the terms of use, you can't make many money off of it. So all the price of the book is $28, and it's strictly to go towards the manufacturing cost of the book. But you can get it over on Lulu.com, and I have to recommend that if you are at all involved with any kind of Halo community and have any interest into how important the Halo community has been to the Halo franchise, you definitely should pick up this book, because it really showcases a lot of different communities out there. And the Halo novels are one thing, but this really is a service to the Halo community. And it did a really good job of capturing how the Halo community really found a home in Halo, how different communities got started. Obviously, all kind of spun off of HBO. And overall, it's just a really cool look on the different aspects of the Halo community, different groups, different personalities, all that kind of stuff. So definitely check it out. You can head over to forwardintodawn.com. Yeah, forwardintodawn.com/community-evolves. And you can find out more about the book, find out more about what the Kickstarter project was, and a little bit more about what is actually in the book. So check it out. Definitely recommend you go pick up a copy at least. I have my copy. I did back it on Kickstarter. And when I got it, I read it for about an hour just because there's lots of cool stuff in there.
He just wanted to get to his part.
Kind of brings back some solid memories. Well, I got to my part because I forgot what I wrote. So it was interesting to see what I wrote. And then 3 years later, I'm like, I would have written that differently now than I did then. But
it's just weird how things change.
It is very, things change for better or for worse. And the way that the Halo community has changed over the past 15 years, is going to be this year, is a lot of it has changed. There's lots of communities that are still here. There's lots of communities that have gone on, moved on. There's new communities up. There's new. It's a different age now, because whenever Podtacular got its start, that was pretty much podcast prime time, and YouTube was barely even a thing. And now YouTube is the focus, and podcasting is a pretty novelty thing when it comes to at least news, because everyone wants news here and now. But it's kind of a novelty thing. So the landscape has changed for digital entertainment, and when it comes to consuming content regarding franchises for video games. I mean, YouTube is obviously the big attraction, and then you have all your bigger game sites, so other smaller communities when it comes to news and stuff isn't necessarily there, but you have a lot of communities that really thrive off of a particular aspect of the game, which is why sites like Griffball Hub, sites like Halo Customs and Halo Archive really thrive, because they're able to nail down that specific aspect of the franchise and really hone in on a community aspect that really everybody shares, which is just awesome.
I just want everybody to make sure that they support their favorite podcasts, because the Highway Patrol frowns on you watching YouTube videos while driving down the highway.
Do you know this from experience?
No, I'm not that stupid.
Okay, just making
but
sure.
But I do run across them. I do run across them from time to time. I don't know if they're watching YouTube, but they sure as heck ain't looking at the road.
It's probably easy. Wow. There's so many things right now that you could be doing on your phone. There's no telling.
We live in a technological age.
Sure. That's something that really scares me. And now that I look at it, it's just my little brother has been, I have a couple years on him. And I was just looking at something today, and this is completely off topic, and I apologize. But any news information that he gets, or anything, like any information, anything, it comes from a 14-inch screen in his hand. Like, that's insane to me. Like, his communications through, not even Skype, it's a chat call. I don't even know what it's called. I think Zap or something. I don't even know. That's how he stays in touch with his, like, cousins and friends. And, like, any entertainment value comes from YouTube. Like, YouTube's become somewhat of a television network at this point, because you have daily episodes of something and people go in for each time, like, they have a scheduled thing. And it's just really weird to see, like, where stuff is going. And it just makes me wonder where things, video game wise and everything else, where it's going to go next.
Who knows? VR is definitely a way towards the future, for sure.
I think augmented reality is my thing that I'm betting on.
We shall see. We shall see.
I want my holodeck.
Me too. Me too. So one other thing that we actually failed to mention from the official news front is the Halo World Championship North American Regionals happened last week. And we have our 8 finalists for North America. So some of them are pretty much no-brainers. So CLG, Evil Geniuses, Team Liquid, Noble, Renegades, Allegiance, Triggers Pound, which I think was, I don't really recognize that name. So I think that was one that kind of really came up in nowhere. And then Denial was another big one that that kind of came in and snuck into the top eight. So we have all 16 teams who are going to who have qualified for the finals now chosen. So we have those eight teams from North America that I just mentioned, and then we have Team Epsilon, Excel, and Infuse from the UK, and then Team Fob from, I think that's the German flag. I could be completely wrong, in which case I am so sorry. I should know my international flags.
The German flag is the yellow or the red, black, and yellow, if I'm thinking correctly.
That's what I was thinking too. And that's the flag that's in the back. So, okay. Just making sure. Whew. And then from Australia and New Zealand, we have Team Immunity and Exiles. Then Asia, we have Skyfire. And then from Latin America, we have Chosen Squad. So those are the 16 finalists for the regionals, and that's going to be happening on, or the World Championship finals are going to be happening on the 19th and 20th of March, and I will be out there covering that. So that's going to be in Hollywood, which will be my second time I've been out there, because the first time was for the launch of the Master Chief Collection, and then I'll be out there again for this. So lots of good stuff if you're huge fans of competitive Halo. And it was interesting to see Puckett back in the commentary spotlight for Halo. It was definitely something that I missed from the MLG days, and it was so good hearing him commentate Halo. I don't know for you two how much you really followed competitive Halo back in the day of MLG, but for those of us that did watch MLG and heard Puckett commentating on Halo, to hear him again was complete nostalgia.
I, no offense to him or anything like that, I don't know who he is. When it comes to MLG and stuff like that, I was very, 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 very late into it. Like, end of Halo 3 days, going into Halo Reach type days. So I wasn't very familiar with anyone that was broadcasting at that time. The only ones that I really knew were some of the names, like Snipe Down Ace. Like, I knew the players. I didn't know any of the broadcasters.
Well, needless to say, it was really awesome being able to watch him commentate over the weekend. It, like, I wish he would stay here, but then again, he's stuck with MLG, and MLG just got out, bought out by Activision, so there's probably not going to be any more MLG Halo after this event. Probably. Be my guess.
You'd be surprised.
Very true, although I think it's not very likely.
No.
Just my guess. We did a poll based on the live stream for the Hammerstorm update that was done on Tuesday. So there was a question asked of Bravo from the community, Halo CE Magnum or Halo CE Pistol or the Battle 2, the Halo 2 Battle Rifle. So we put up that poll, and 60% of you said the Halo CE Pistol over the Halo 2 Battle Rifle, which I would have to agree with the pistol.
Yeah, I'm right along there with you. The Halo 2 VR is pretty sick, but that pistol, good lord, that thing's crazy.
It's three shots. It's ridiculously powerful. I remember fond moments of using that weapon on Halo CE.
I can remember some cross-map kills on Blood Cults with that pistol.
Oh, yeah. You're shooting from one base to the other, and you're still managing to get shots, and you're like, how the heck do you actually get it from that far?
I always liked with the pistol when you'd sweep across and you'd come across somebody, their name would pop up and you just shoot at the name.
Yeah, my proudest moment with the CE pistol, and this is something I still don't know how I did this, but it was I got two shots. I don't know what caused me to do this, but I got two shots in the head, and then I did a 360 and then shot him again, and that was the ending kill. And not, it was across the map. If it was on I think it was on Hang 'em High, if I remember correctly.
Hacks.
I don't know what I have the clip on my Xbox dashboard and or game clips, and that I have no idea. I really don't. I have no idea. But that thing, that was probably the coolest moment with that. So I'm right along there with everyone that voted. Yeah, that I'm glad that thing's back.
A lot of people are. So does anyone know what the rec level is for that? I'm guessing it's like a 7 or 8. So probably 7.
Because it's a legendary.
Right. And it being a 3-shot, you definitely want that to be in the higher level recs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly which one.
I think it's probably a 7 or something like that. That sounds right. So that's pretty much it for Halo news. Just lots of stuff going on. It's crazy. Something else I did want to mention too is our friend Duquesne has unfortunately fallen to the Google ban hammer, essentially, and was accused of clicking on his own ads to gain himself revenue when he didn't do that at all. And apparently a lot of people have been getting hit with this from Google. So he's unable to monetize any of his videos on his current channel. So he actually made a second channel, but because he has a low count of subscribers and he's not partnered with any channels, he can't monetize videos on his new channel either. So he's kind of stuck in this predicament where he still is making content. He's still uploading content to both channels, but until he's able to regain that subscriber base, he's not going to be able to monetize his videos. So he's actually set up a Patreon for him for people to donate money to him and an effort in return for his efforts. And Bio, you might know a little more details on this. I don't think he's necessarily doing anything special for Patreon backers at the moment, but he's probably going to do something in the future a little bit. But he's going to mostly maintain just doing the same videos and just using the Patreon as kind of an intermediate until he can't get partnered with somebody, right?
Yeah, so basically what his idea is that he's going to be, you know, he's, like, to give you this low story or short story, he's done this for 6 years. Like, he's poured a lot of time into his channel. And it was just recent months that his channel started growing, you know, at a pretty decent rate. But it was just something that was really unfortunate. So basically what he was thinking of, he doesn't have anything planned just yet, but for people that do higher tier bracket, you know, Patreon stuff, basically what he was going to do was, you know, maybe do a dual commentary on a map or, you know, since he does forging, maybe have someone help him build a forge map of some sort. He doesn't have a clear idea of exactly what he wants to do. He does want to do bracket stuff. So, like, if you donate $5, you may get, like, a shout-out or something. Like, something along those lines. So, he is planning on doing something. I don't know. He doesn't know exactly what just yet, but he is planning on doing it. But the more support he gets, the more he's going to be able to do certain things. So one of the things that he mentioned was he wants to put Aiden in, I guess, like a daycare, not because he doesn't want to take care of him. It's just, you know, so he has a little bit more extra time so he can start doing more live streams, you know, put out a little bit more content and stuff like that. So the more things he can do, he can put a little bit more time and effort into it. So
there you have it. There's a spiel. There's a scoop.
So if you're subscribed to his channel, subscribe to his new one.
Yeah.
Help him get those viewers.
Yes.
Yeah, he's...
So he can get back to monetizing those videos, because, you know, it's sad that this has happened, and I really feel for the guy, because it's... You put a lot of work into a channel and then have this happen, because some corporation thinks you're padding your own stats. It's uncalled for one. Just do what you can to help him. And the quickest and simplest thing is just subscribe. If you're subscribed to his original channel, subscribe to the new one.
Yeah, and he's had a couple of videos up there as of late that he's linked to his new channel. But in case you haven't figured out what the new channel is, his old one was Duquesne23, and his new one is Duquesne23YT for YouTube. So just head on over there. As I understand it, he's uploading to both places for now. And then once he gets enough subscribers, he'll really just kind of focus on posting videos to his new channel, but he's still going to be doing live streams over on his original channel. So he'll still be doing that there, but then most of his videos are going to be uploaded to his new channel. So make sure you go do that. Go support Duquesne. He's a cool dude. We really like him. Hope you like him too.
Yeah, and one of his most recent videos, he's put an Easter egg, so if you guys check that out, tweet him. He's put a very interesting Easter egg at the very end of his videos, and so he's a very creative guy. I definitely recommend him, especially all the Forge stuff that he does with the community. Like, he's kind of pretty big when it comes to Forge stuff. So,
and he's actually going to be doing a segment for Operation Supply Drop stream. He's going to be hosting a 2-hour racing segment, so he's a big race forger, or at least he's a very well-known race forger, so he's going to be hosting a two-hour segment to do race maps for Halo. Even though we don't have an official race game mode yet, we're still going to do race maps, and we're going to have him feature that. And there's a few other cool things that we're doing with our Operation Supply Drop stream, which I have a post that I'm currently writing on that'll explain all of that. It's just not out yet.
So as soon as he gets that finished, he'll get that put out.
Pretty much. But to kind of go over some of the stuff that we are going to be doing for the Operation Supply Drop stream, we did make the official announcement that we are doing it last week, although it's been in the works for quite a few months now. We are going to have a slew of different events going on. We're going to have Pro Ace Joker do some speed runs. We're going to have a Griffball tournament with some of the GGL and probably AGLA teams participating with getting some veterans on the teams. We're going to have an arena tournament where people can actually sign up a team and play in the HCS-like tournament and be able to win some prizes for the top team. There's going to be a segment in there for our podcast. So we're actually not doing the podcast on Thursday next week. We'll be doing the podcast in conjunction with the live stream for Operation Supply Drop. So we will not be here on Thursday next week. And there's going to be a segment for Machinima. So I've reached out to a bunch of different Halo 5 Machinimators, and I've gotten permission to use some of their content. Some of them are actually making stuff specifically for this stream. So Toa Freak, aka Halo Cannon, is making something special for us. King Louie, or Lane, or Thomas, as some may know him, is making a bit specifically for the stream as well. And then Defend the House has a new episode of Halo 5 Mythbusters, which are going to debut on the stream as well. So we have lots of different Halo YouTube content that's going to be premiering on the stream, which is really cool. We've reached out to several different communities to get involvement. So we're going to have the Halo Wheelmen host our Warzone lobby. That's going to be a 4-hour lobby for Warzone matchmaking. We have RUL going to be doing customs for 4 hours. We're going to have a pro team exhibition. So we're actually getting two HCS pro teams to do a set of exhibition matches for the stream, which is awesome. We're going to have giveaways. So we're going to have rec pack giveaways. We're going to have, I have a limited collector's edition that I bought during the Christmas sale that we're going to be giving away on stream. We're going to have copies of the paperback New Blood book that we're going to be giving away before it hits shelves. So you're going to be able to get your hands on those. We're going to have Mega Block giveaways. We're going to have, I mean, the list goes on of stuff that we're having during this live stream. So there's a lot of stuff going on for what's coming for this live stream. And we are super excited to be working with Operation Supply Drop and 343 to get this for you guys. And this is something that they actually want to do quarterly. So we'll be able to actually expand this and get other communities involved. So for this one, we're obviously not going to be able to get everyone involved. There are communities out there that we aren't having on for this first one. But it does give us a chance to kind of widen the array, like start with this initial set and then try to pull in other communities for future streams. And one of the things that we're doing with this event too is that since it is backed by 343 officially, we're keeping all 343 focused, but there are some communities out there that are not specifically Halo 5 focused. So for those of you who have listened to our podcast before, Masters, who is in charge of the Halo Custom Edition SPV3 team, has a new build that he's been working on. I think it's the beta build of SPV3. So there's that. There's another community mod called Sons of the Prophets, which is a Arma 3 mod, if I'm saying, I think that's right. I forget. No, Sons of the Solar Empire mod, I think. And then there is a few other like community mods that are out there that people are working on. So there's definitely a lot of other communities and groups out there that we would love to showcase in future events. So this is just kind of the starter. We're doing a lot of big things for this one. I mean, Griffball Tournament's huge. Pro Team Exhibition is huge. Getting the Forgers and the community cartographers to have input into this, having Machinimators do stuff for this. I mean, this stream is going to be fantastic. This is something that you will not want to miss. I will say, though, for the arena tournament, we are going to have signups this weekend. So I'm going to make the official post either tonight or tomorrow morning. And then we'll have signups going on this weekend. It's going to be teams of four. You're going to be able to have a sub, just one sub. So in case like some emergency comes up, you will be able to sub. You'll still be able to play. It's going to be a four-hour segment on Saturday. So we'll get all the games done in the same day. It's not going to be like multi-day stuff like that. And it's going to be played off similar HCS rules. So it's going to be best of three matches for like the first two or three rounds, and then once it hits the semis, it's going to be the best of five.
A lot of cool stuff, man. It's going to be a busy few days.
Oh, it's this week has already been busy for me trying to get this thing prepped and reaching out to people. It's been one hell of a week so far, but we're excited for it. We are very excited to get this underway, and I'm going to be happy to be done with it too, because that means I get a little bit of a break. It's all good, though.
Sleep.
Oh. Well, no, seriously. I have not really gotten that much sleep this week. It's bad.
I know.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's all for a good cause, though.
At least you're young.
Both of those are very true. Very true. So, just wanted to put that out there. Lots of cool stuff coming for this next weekend. Again, we're not going to have a podcast on Thursday next week because we are going to do a podcast segment during the Operation Supply Drop stream. And we're going to be actually talking with a few veterans who have kind of benefited from Operation Supply Drop. And we're going to ask them how Operation Supply Drop kind of helped them while they were deployed, and how Operation Supply Drop has really made an impact for active duty military and veterans across the world. So I think that's going to be fascinating to be perfectly honest. I think it's cool. One other thing too that I forgot to mention is there is a person out there that has made a website, not really a website, but is put together a collection of all the remakes that have been done in Halo 5. So if you head over to Halo5Remakes.com, it takes you to a Google sheet that has the gamer tag, the map name, and then they're doing overview videos of every single map remake in Halo 5. And just about every single map from Halo CE to Halo 3 has been remade. And some of them are really good.
My favorite right now is the Pit remake. Like, that's hands down my favorite so far.
I want to get the Breakout Pit remake. That one I haven't got downloaded yet.
Let's talk with Bubba. Sure, you can get a couple on that.
It's probably in his file share still.
Yeah, I think that's the very first thing he has on his file share.
I mean, now that the file share is up to 500 items, I don't think it's going to be much of a storage issue for people to put maps on their file shares.
And we don't have to creatively store them either.
No. Although I'm still hoping that they come out with the whatever the advanced file share thing is that they have. I hope they come out with that soon. Being able to actually search for files, being able to search by gamer tag, being able to save film clips or screenshots from within the game itself and not rely on the Xbox Dash would be nice.
Yeah, I could have really used that tonight because I got killed in Warzone and my left foot got stuck in the side of Spire and I was just kind of hanging there, swinging.
That's interesting.
Just a swinging. Oh.
And something I want to encourage real quick too is I want to do something. So I do post every week based on the theme. So Mondays we do Machinima. Wednesdays, I've been trying, although I've been failing recently, of doing screenshots. So we put out a screenshot. We ask for people to make captions for it. And then we'll put the captions on the screenshot and then do another screenshot. And because I've been preparing for Operation Supply Drop, I haven't actually done that this week. So that is usually something to try to do on Wednesdays. And then what I want to start doing on Fridays is actually doing a community highlight clip. So if you go in and have something funny happen in Halo or something really awesome happen in Halo and you do your little Xbox record that type of thing, then I want to go through our Spartan company and try to find a clip and then throw that up on our YouTube channel kind of as like weekly content for what's been going on. So I know every week for me, I'm probably recording somewhere between 3 to 7 different clips outside. Like if I'm playing Halo in addition to getting my dailies, there's usually something that goes on where I'll get a clip. So if you are playing Halo and you are in our Spartan company, then make sure you take some clips every once in a while, because I'm going to try to start doing that, especially after the Operation Supply Drop stream when I have a little more time to focus on doing that kind of stuff. But it is something that I feel that we could really showcase the community through a YouTube channel with. So that's something that we're going to do here pretty soon.
Cool.
Yep. So lots of content. We are, of course, without a community manager. So if you are interested in applying for the community manager position, you have a little bit of a background in it, then we would encourage you guys to apply. And there's some other positions that we're looking for as well. A big thing that would be helpful for me especially is a writer that can actually respond to official news or articles within like a reasonable time frame. I know a lot of people work and whatnot, but if there is someone out there who is kind of available or is able to pretty promptly respond to news posts, like there's a lot of times where I'm at work and I'll have to just write it up at work because it's just like news is out. Hey, we need to get a post out. But that's obviously something that we could really use some help in. And then also coming up with content production ideas. So Godzilla T has his Achieving Halo. I want to do my highlighting the community clip every week. And then there's lots of other ideas that we have, but we just don't have the manpower to do it. So if you're interested in being a part of the Podtacular team, then you can head on over to podtacular.com/apply and then enter in your portfolio, enter in your information, and then we'll vet you and hopefully we can get you on board and help us out here with what we're doing with Podtacular. Because we need some help. I need some help. Anyway, so definitely consider applying if you are interested in getting involved with Podtacular. We also have a few more spots left on our Spartan company, which does mean that we're going to start knocking people off our company who has not been playing Halo. So the first people that we're going to knock off is actually people that have not been playing Halo, period, for longer than a month. We'll probably start with like who haven't been playing since the beginning of the year and then slowly knock people off that way. So obviously, if you're not playing Halo, then we can make room for other people that are going to actually actively play Halo, because we do want to go for the Achilles armor stuff. We still have quite a ways to go. We have, I believe, 5 wrecks that have completed level 2, and that leaves us with 26 other wrecks, which we still need to get level 2, and then we actually have to get them all to level 3 in order to get the actual armor variant. And then level 5 for the helmet, which is going to be even longer, but we are looking to get that. We are going to be continuing to push forward and playing games to try to get those as quickly as we can. So if you are looking for a Spartan Company group, then please check out the Podtacular group, the Podtacular Company. And also make sure you check out our social media. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, and I obviously mentioned YouTube earlier. We are also on Instagram, and I know I have been keeping up with that lately, but we will probably be doing more stuff over on Instagram with the Operation Supply Drop stuff coming up this next week and then afterwards as well. We also have our game nights for our Spartan company, which is Tuesdays and Wednesdays right now. We may be changing that up a little bit based on player availability and based on how active we get during those nights. So Tuesdays is usually our arena nights and Wednesdays is usually our Warzone nights. Those usually start around 8:30 or 9 o'clock Eastern time. But we've also had one of our other company members step up and offer to do a West Coast time for both events as well. So most of the time, I'm going to be doing the East Coast stuff. So we'll do a 8:30, 9 p.m. Eastern time one, and then there's going to be a 9 p.m. Western or Pacific time one as well. So for everyone that is over in the Pacific or the mountain area, where that time slot might be a little more appropriate for you, because I know 8:30, 9 o'clock, that's the time when people are either leaving for work or they're just getting home or they're having dinner. So it's not necessarily the easiest time to get in. So one of our community members, one of our Spartan Company members has stepped up and offered to do a West Coast session of both events. So if you are West Coast, then make sure you check that out on the Spartan Company boards. He started a thread and he's just going to be doing, again, 9 o'clock Pacific time for both Tactical Tuesday and Warzone Wednesday. We also have a Friday event, which happens at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. And that's our customs. That's our, hey, let's hop into matchmaking with Warzone. Let's hop in with other friends or whatever. And that's just kind of our fun night. So our Spark Company events are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And then our fun nights with anyone and everyone is on Fridays. We've also been toying around with the idea of doing a Saturday event for our international folks, and that will probably be something that happens after the Operation Supply Drop stream. So we won't do it every week, but it'll probably be something that we'll do every other week to start off, and then either pick it up or dial it back a bit, depending on how active participation is for that event. What are you going to say, GT?
I was going to say, on the Friday, you get to play with me.
That too. Unless it was last
week. That's the best part, right?
Unless it was last week, but you'll be there this week.
I was kind of busy last week.
Yeah. Yes. But yes, GT hosts the Friday night events, and then I will, either I or one of the other lieutenants will be hosting the Tuesday, Wednesday events for the company. So that's how that works. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of gaming-specific shows like Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. So if you're looking for some other podcasts to check out during the day, or if you're interested in either one of those games that we mentioned, definitely check out those podcasts because they are good quality. They have great guests, great hosts, all around good audio quality, and they're really just good to pass the time on if you're not necessarily interested in the games and you're looking for some other gaming podcast to listen to. Those are some really good podcasts to get plugged in and tuned with. So make sure you check that out. They're over at podka.st. You can find us over there as well and let them know that we sent you. So thanks everyone for coming over to our live stream. For those that joined us on Twitch, we do this on Thursdays at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I guess now, Eastern time. Today we started a little late because I am trying to get this Operation Supply Drop post actually done, which is still not done yet. But on a normal night for our podcast, we do it at 9 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/podtackler. And again, we're not going to be doing the podcast next week because we will be doing it during the Operation Supply Drop stream. And please make sure you check it out. More details coming to podtackler.com and some other communities near you pretty soon. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again for tuning in to the news. It is a great time to be a Halo fan. I think I said this a couple weeks before, where this is the content update that if you're waiting to get into Halo, now is the perfect time. This is the Halo I think everyone was wanting day one. I think 343 has really knocked it out of the park by now. So
I agree.
So get in, get some fun in. We have Griffball now. We have a bunch of new game modes. We have Forge. We have Theater. There's still some bugs in certain areas, but 343 has been diligently working on those, and the response that we've gotten back from them is simply amazing. And it just shows how much they're listening to the community, how much they care about the game, how much they care about our requests for the game, and how much they're listening to what we have to say. So just huge shout out to 343. You guys are doing fantastic work. It's going to be an awesome next few months, especially with Warzone Firefight, with the Halo World Championship coming up here in the next month. It's lots of good stuff with Halo coming. It's a great time to be a Halo fan, for sure. So,
yay! Yep.
Thanks again, everybody. We will see you on the Operation Supply Drop stream next week. Until then, keep on fragging those trucks.